Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine. Welcome to Wine for Vet Street on Dracena Wines Podcast. Today, the letter of the day is V, and it stands for Val d'Agay. This was the first time I had ever heard of this grape variety. These are the episodes that I love the most, when I get to dive into a new-to-me grape. Val d'Agay was originally known as Gros Auxerrois in the 19th century. It was preferred by growers because it was resistant to powdery mildew and it had high productivity. So go ahead, uncork, unscrew, or saber a bottle and sit back and enjoy. Sláinte! Hey! Happy April!
Welcome to Wine for Vet Street.
Yes, welcome to Wine for Vet Street. I am peeling all over the place from my wonderful week. Yes, this is like what normal people look like, you know. But you know, all the time, this is me so tan, it's out of control. Out of control. I mean, I am so tan. This is like insane. But let's start talking some wine. So welcome to the letter V. I can't believe we are here.
I know.
And
ooh,
we're
winding down the first season.
The first season is coming pretty close. I know. And we decided this episode was going to be Val d'Agay. So the letter of the day is V, and it is for Val d'Agay. So I'm gonna start off Elmo, and we'll go from there. Val d'Agay. Oh, it absolutely was. There was so little information on it. Anyway, so welcome to Wine for Vet Street. I am Lori, your co-host here, and my husband and I own Dracena Wines, and we have a winery in Paso Robles. We specialize in Cabernet Franc. We are passionate about Cabernet Franc, and we additionally have a Rosé of Syrah. And we are doing private tastings, so if you are in the area, if you would like to come and taste, just head over to our website and click that little red button that says schedule a private tasting. And, you know, not only do you get wine, but you get to meet Vegas, and, you know, he loves meeting new people. So click away for a private tasting.
And I'm known as the Hudson Valley Wine Goddess. I'm a wine blogger. I'm a wine writer. I'm also a partner in a restaurant in Stone Harbor called Kitchen 330. I'm author of a book called Tapping the Hudson Valley, Day Trips and Weekend Itineraries, visiting all the craft beverage producers in the Hudson Valley. And I'm co-owner of Happy Bitch Wines. And I think that's probably about it. But I want to say this Friday night, Lori's going to be at my restaurant. We're doing a Dracena Wines dinner, and I am looking so forward to it. It's sold out. It sold out within 3 weeks, I think it was.
Wow.
We had a waiting list.
Wow.
And everyone's really excited to come to the dinner.
Yeah. So and I am beyond ecstatic. I am so excited to be there, to pour our wines, to share our passion. And, you know, there's really no words can describe the feeling when you watch somebody taste your wine and hear their, you know, their opinion of it and see it come over their face as they're enjoying the wine. It's really an amazing feeling. So very, very excited. Yay.
Yeah, we are too.
Right.
We are too.
So first things first, it is 8:08. And it is time to pour a glass.
Okay. So mine's a screw top.
Oh, okay. Mine was a cork. Mine was a cork. But it was nice. It was a capsule-less bottle. So no capsule. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, there's more and more wineries that are doing this for, you know, for environmental reasons. And I really like it. So I'm going to be having
Is that the crystal cup thing?
No, no, it's still a cork. It just doesn't have a capsule. The tin capsule that goes over it. So it's called a naked bottle, a naked neck. And I just, you know what? It's one less thing that's going into the garbage, you know, into the dumps and not being able to be recycled. So I'm really kind of liking it. And I don't know. We're going to have a convo with the hubby over this. So here we go.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking. It is called The Bluffs. And it is actually from Paso Robles. Woo!
Oh, wow. So I have J. Lore.
Yay!
So, and this, I believe, is from the Monterey region.
Right. So they have, they source their, or, well, they have a state fruit, but they get
they
fruit from
vineyards there.
Yeah.
Wow, this is kind of dark.
Now that's interesting because...
Look how dark mine is.
And look at how light.
Wow.
Mine is.
And mine is 17.
Look at how light that is. Two completely different. This is also a 2017.
Interesting.
Yes. So,
Very
light in color. Can see right through it. So this is light ruby. Big time.
Mine's dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mine's dark.
All right. Not so sure about this. Not going to lie. All right. Here we go. Sláinte.
Cheers. Mine's light.
Yes, blueberry. It's very light. It is a very light-bodied wine. It's kind of, I'm blanking on what it's reminding me of. It's some sort of candy that it reminds me of. Actually, it might be a little starbursty.
You know what? I think you're right. So I'm thinking of, like, when I lived in New Rochelle, Bill, the good humor guy that was at the school, he would sell, now, mind you, this is like when I was 9 years old. You would sell these with wax paper, and you would peel it off, peel the wax paper off, and there would be taffy, and that's what this tastes like.
Yeah, yeah.
Laffy.
Laffy Taffy. It's the pink Laffy Taffy.
Okay.
So Starbursty, Laffy Taffy. Shall we get started?
We should.
All right.
Shall we start with
the history?
All right, that's you. You're up.
That is me. So we will start with the history. So Val de Gay was originally known as Gros Auxerrois. In the 19th century, it was liked by growers because of it was resistance to powdery mildew and had high productivity. So, you know, when things go wrong, they just kind of look more for the fruit that can survive bad environments than anything else. Although it was once popular, it is now almost completely gone in France. There are a few hectares that are left in France, right down there in the Tarn department, which is located in the Occitanie region in southwest of France, and that is named after the Tarn River. So there is also very limited production in the Languedoc and Provence region. In 1980, the French ampelographer Pierre Gallet traveled to California and identified what was being sold as Napa Gamay or Gamay 15 as Val de Gay. So for the longest time, people were thinking this was Gamay. So if you find a Val de Gay, there's a lot of similarities to Beaujolais, especially Beaujolais Nouveau. Pierre Gallet listed over 9,600 different species of grape varieties all over the world. He's like my hero. Like that is so impressive. Seriously, he is like my hero. Until 1980, Napa Gamay was believed to be the Gamay of Beaujolais. But following genetic analysis, the name Napa Gamay has now been banned in the U.S. on wine labels. And that occurred in 1999. So that was kind of before my drinking wine time. But apparently there used to be labels that actually said Napa Gamay, which was different than the Gamay in France.
So if anybody has a bottle out there with the label Napa Gamay, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, that would be cool to see. That would be very cool to see. Valdiguié was first commercially propagated in 1874, although its origin is unclear. There are three main theories. The first, that it was named after M. Valdiguié, who lived from 1745 to 1817, and he selected a seedling from the Morel variety. The second thought is that it comes from Guillaume Valdiguié, founded in the vineyard of the Templar Monastery in Auxol. And the last is that it is named after Jean-Baptiste Valdiguié, founded in the vineyard in Pylor and founded in 1874. So that's a lot of different people whose last name is Valdiguié. But I don't know how common of a last name that is, but apparently it must be kind of a common thing. In California, the variety gained popularity during Prohibition because of its high productivity and with acreage scattered throughout Northern California after the repeal. Areas of later expansion included the Central Coast and the Central Valley, as well as the North Coast, i.e. your J. Lore and my Paso Robles. Following the wine grape planting boom in the 1970s, total plantings peaked at 6,118 total acres in 1977, whereas now it is below 1,000 total acres. So, they're saying it was a high planting, but if you think about it, 6,000 acres in all of California and all of, the region is not exactly a lot of acreage, but it is now below 1,000. So it has had a significant decrease in growth. The vines actually produce 5 to 8 tons per acre. So these are seriously high producing vines. It's abundant and large clusters can easily contribute to overcropping, especially with young vines. And crop thinning is pretty much necessary to avoid overcropping, especially in the cooler districts where the fruit ripening is late. And that is all I could find.
Well, you got a lot more than I can say I do.
I'm not going to lie. I was kind of happy that, or not happy, I felt very lucky that this week or this month, I was history and food pairings because it was a lot easier than what you had to do.
I'll tell you, it was tough finding information just about the grape.
Yeah.
In general. It made me want to open the wine and taste it so I could write about it. But yep. I didn't.
Good. Good girl.
No, I didn't.
I also wanted to open it earlier this evening. I almost want to start Wine for Bet Street earlier now so that we could start drinking earlier. But I'll be lucky in a couple of months because I'll be on the West Coast.
I'm up for that, but then,
Maybe 7 o'clock. But when I'm on the West Coast, it's, it'll be 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock, yeah. So it won't be an issue. But we'll talk about that offline.
Yeah. So I guess I'm up now for characteristics.
You are.
Characteristics. I'm telling you, this was tough. This is what wanted me to not only open. Valdiguié is found in large clusters in a conal shape, and it's usually dark black and blue in color. The wines are usually dark colored, kind of like mine, with significant low amounts of alcohol. I wonder what the alcohol level is on my wine.
Mine is 14.3.
Mine's 12.5.
Yeah, I was going to say, before you announced, I was going to say that yours is probably significantly less in alcohol because the Monterey region versus the Paso Robles region. Just the temperature variation between those two regions, it's going to be much higher in Paso than it is in Monterey, the alcohol.
They are resistant to powdery mildew. And the more I read about, this grape resistant to powdery mildew and stuff, it probably wouldn't be a bad grape to grow in, like, the Hudson Valley.
Oh.
I don't know.
I think you might be too cold. I think your growing season might be a little too short.
Might not be long enough.
Yeah, because it does need the ripening of Valdiguié is so late that I think you may lose that season. I don't know. We'll have to research to see if anybody knows of it in that region, but.
Yeah,
it is considered a very late ripening, so it might be a little iffy. Like, I don't even think it's up in Oregon. I don't, I think it's, but I don't know.
So the wines are light to medium body, and they're prepared similar in fashion to, Gamay of Beaujolais and stuff. And you know what? As I'm drinking this, this probably wouldn't taste bad if it was slightly chilled.
I would agree with that. Mine is not. Yeah. Did you chill yours at all?
No, I didn't chill mine at all.
No, I just took it right off of the rack. But I think this would be better, slightly chilled. But
I think so too.
That is kind of true with Gamay also.
Exactly. So, like flavors that you might experience. Floral, the aromas, lilac, lily, jasmine.
I can go with lilac here. I can do lilac.
Yeah, I got lilac. And probably lily, too, if I don't have any jasmine. And they say, like, a hint of roses. But I definitely get the pinkish-purplish in mine. And then juicy strawberry, raspberry.
This is more raspberry to me than strawberry.
I actually got a hint of blueberry. I don't know why.
Where's the picture of Laffy Taffy?
That was my first initial thing, but now it's definitely more juicy, red raspberry and strawberry. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely more of the juicy kind.
Oh, absolutely.
Than field strawberries or just strawberry or raspberry. It's juicy.
Yeah, it's definitely not jammy. It's like freshly picked.
Yeah.
Freshly picked.
Right out of the strawberry patch or raspberry bush.
Right.
So, and that's really all I got.
This was seriously a tough one. I thought last month was rough. This one was rough. I couldn't even get information on the winery because this is actually a sample from Wink Wine. And so it is called The Bluffer, but I have no idea who the winemaker is.
He doesn't want you to know.
Yes, but on the back of their label, they think they're a little, doing a little cutesy thing. All right, Valdiguié, we're calling your bluff. The California grape, mistaken for so long as Gamay, is finally embracing its true identity. Light, fruity, and radiantly red, the bluffer is so strawberry-licious, you won't want to put it down. So, I am not getting strawberry. I am getting raspberry.
I have more raspberry than strawberry.
But I will say it is juicy. It like you know, biting into a fresh fruit where that juice just is like, you know, slopping all over you.
Oh my God, it runs right down your mouth.
Right. Right.
You're biting into it and it's just full of juice.
It is not, you know, many Paso fruit is jammy because of the heat. It also at 14.2, I'm not tasting it at 14.2. It's definitely not down in the 12 level, but it's not blowing me away in the alcohol. The first sip actually did. The very first sip, I was like, ooh, that's a hot wine, but it's not that way now. It's a lot softer now, and I can definitely get the lilac. And there's almost more strawberry in the nose. I don't get it at all on the palate. I don't get strawberry on the palate. But there's, in addition to the floral, there's a little bit of almost a minty, like a spearmint. Like a real spearmint. Like if you actually pulled the leaf of a spearmint. On it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's actually pleasant. I'm not sure that's a, you know, I didn't see anywhere that said that you would get spearmint, but I don't know.
No.
That's what I'm saying. But I've also been sick for 4 days, so I don't know.
So mine is a J. Lore.
Yay!
Monterey Valley Valdegay. And this was very inexpensively priced. It was $8.99. See, I left the price tag on it.
Oh, by the way, mine was $14, but it was a sample, but it was for sale for $14.
So mine was $8.99. And I have to tell you, I have actually been to J. Lore Wine's tasting room in Paso. You know, they have some really nice wines.
They do.
So to start.
Then you were very close to our vineyard because you can see you can see our vineyard from their tasting room, from their deck. We're the next road down.
Oh, okay. I know exactly. I mean, we had a good time out there. So, Jerry Lore was raised on a farm in South Dakota in the late 60s. So he had some sort of agricultural background. Mm-hmm. And he decided that he wanted to start a vineyard. And that led him to the central coast of California. And he was one of the early pioneers of wine growing or grape growing in the Monterey and Paso Robles region. In the early 70s, he planted Chardonnay in the Monterey Valley or Monterey County, Area Seco Appellation. And what began as 280 acres planted in 1972, 1973, it looked like it would, you know, it was good, and he ended up also planting Chardonnay there because it was good growing region for Chardonnay. In 1974, he opened the first J. Lore Winery in San Jose, and in 1986, he reached out and he planted Bordeaux varietals in Paso Robles. Today, J. Lore has more than 1,400 acres of estate vineyards in the area of Seco and Santa Lucia Highlands of Monterey County. And in those regions, in those areas, they focus on Chardonnay, Riesling, Valdegay, and Pinot Noir. Riesling and actually also Sauvignon Blanc and the Valdegay flourish a lot from the coastal climate. And in Paso Robles, they farm over 2,700 acres, and it's mostly red varietals there. Cabernet Sauvignon, Rhone varietals, so Syrah and Bordeaux varietals. And they also took a little trip up to Napa, and they own 30 acres up there is what's known as Carroll's Vineyard, and they have Cabernet Sauvignon and Petit Verdot growing up there. They have three state-of-the-art winemaking facilities, one in San Jose, one in Greenfield, one in Paso Robles, and they have two wine centers, the J. Lore Wine Center in San Jose and the one in Paso Robles that are open daily for tastings. I was at the Paso Robles one. The winery itself is, they offer four different tiers of wines. They have J. Lore Estates. They have J. Lore Vineyard Series, J. Lore Cuvée Series, J. Lore Guester series, which is limited release wines that are only available in the tasting room. So you have to go or become a wine club member. It is 100% family owned. And just on the Valdigay, they have 39 acres planted.
Oh, wow. So out of 1,000 that California has about now, 39, that's a big chunk because it's probably a lot of small parcels.
Yeah, probably within the vineyard. Now, this particular vintage is grown in Chular loam soil in the Area Seco Appalachian. I'm just sitting here. Valdigay grows in the windy, cold Area Seco. It produces a wine remnants of the Cruz of Beaujolais, more like the Morgan, Fleury, and the Moulin Avant.
I would say Fleury. I would say Fleury.
Would you say Fleury?
Because Fleury is more fragrant, and I mean, yeah. I'm not tasting yours. I, you know.
No, but mine is. I will tell you, mine is very fragrant, and I smell red raspberry, and I do smell the purple flowers. You know.
Yeah. Like, to me, Morgon is bigger than, you know what I'm saying? Like, right, because you said it was Morgon or Fleury?
Yeah, Morgon, Fleury, or Moulin Avent.
Oh, okay. I would go Fleury. I can see Fleury.
I get lilies and lilacs in this. Red raspberries. It's more red raspberries than strawberry, but it has kind of like almost a sour on the finish.
Oh, okay.
Like it kind of puckers. It's kind of like a little bit of a sourness.
So Jim has joined us. I'm sorry, Debbie. Jim has joined us.
Oh, and, hey, Jim. How are you?
Fleury is known to be fragrant. So that's why I said flowery. That these are flowery, so it's more Fleury to me. So that's where I got that. And yes, I agree. Morgon is definitely more earthy. And to me, it's a bigger boulder wine than Fleury. This is, and I don't know about the J. Lure one, but this, the Bluffer is a very light, very airy, very, you know, wine. And it is very...
As dark as mine looks,
yeah.
It is very light.
Light, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing bold about this.
Right.
It's very light, fruity, just kind of, and I think it would taste better slightly chilled.
Yeah. but to go back, if are you done with J. Lure?
Like, mm-hmm.
Okay. So J. Lure is near and dear to Mike and I. We adore them. You know, when we're on the way to the vineyard, we pretty much always stop in and taste and buy and whatever. But the Carroll's Vineyard, and this is just what I wanted to mention, that has nothing to do with Valdigay. But the Carroll's Vineyard is the proceeds are dedicated to the Cancer Society, to Breast Cancer Society.
Really?
So the Carroll Vineyard wines all have the pink ribbon on them. And his wife, Carol, had passed away from cancer. So the vineyard is dedicated to her, and the wines, the proceeds all go towards cancer research. So I just...
did that in my research.
I don't know how much they throw that out there, you know, and it's been there, I think, when they first started it. Maybe they promoted that a bit more. I don't know. But I don't know if you can buy Carroll's Vineyard outside of the tasting rooms. They're at the tasting room. I know that. But the Guester is only in the tasting room. So whenever people come to the Paso region, I always suggest going to J. Lure. And people are always like, oh, we get their wines. You know, you can see them everywhere. Yes, there are restaurant-tiered wines that you're going to get, and you can get it at Costco or whatever, but there's so many more wines at the tasting room that it is well worth your time. And the tasting is outrageous there. They, you know, they pretty much pour whatever you want to taste.
Yeah, we had a great experience.
And they also do a Bordeaux series. There's like Saint Demian, you know, there's a they go by the regions, but I'm not remembering which one. All I ever remember is Saint Demian because that's where I live, and that's the Cab Franc main variety. But there's one that focuses on Cabernet, one that's Cab Franc. There's three different wines they have. So if you are in the region, if you're in the area, go taste there. Well worth your time. And their other tasting room that is
San Jose.
Mike and I actually went there also a long time ago. And that's a cute tasting room also. And, you know, everybody is wonderful there. So all I can say is J-Lore, go, 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 go. So that's, Jim is saying that's how he feels about Mondavi. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes when you go into tasting rooms, and I feel that way about Chateau Saint Jean.
Yeah.
I head right to the reserve.
Yeah. There's just, you know, these larger wineries, they're going to produce wines that you can find anywhere. And then they're going to have the special ones that are just to the club members and just to, you know, if you're going to take the time to come to the tasting rooms. Yeah, the Tokalon wines are amazing, Jim. And that's the other thing. You can't go up there and not go to Mondavi. You have to, just to taste everything else they have. But anyway, my tasting notes are definitely nowhere near what they say their tasting notes are. According to them, there's fennel. I do not get fennel. Unless what I'm saying that spearmint is what they're calling fennel. But I don't see that as fennel. They also say it's plum.
Plum?
It's not. To me, it's not. And then they say rhubarb. And I'm not going to lie, I have no clue what rhubarb tastes like or smells like. So they also say that their body is medium, although on the label it says it's light, but on their website for Wink, it says it's a medium bodied wine. And they do, now that I'm looking at what it says on Wink website, they actually do say serve slightly chilled. So kudos to you. Yes, they do. But it's, you know what? It's not a bad wine.
Not at all. This would be slightly chilled. It'll be great in the summer.
And at $9, I'd be more apt. I mean, I haven't tasted that. Did you know that Dracaena Wines now has a wine club? We named it the Chalk Club. Draco is on our label, but Vegas was getting a little jealous, so we decided he deserved to be our club spokesdog. In Las Vegas, betting chalk means that you are betting on all of the favorites. We are betting that we are one of your favorite wineries, so we thought the name was apropos. The club is simple, yet a bit different than most. When you wager on us, we will ship you 3 bottles of wine twice a year, once in April and once in September. You can choose all red or mix of red and rosé. You immediately receive 15% off of all your wine purchases throughout the year, but what makes our club stand out is the progressive discount. Let your club membership ride into the next year. Your discount increases. Each year you parlay your membership, you receive an additional 5% off up to a planned maximum of 25%. Your club shipments are discounted to a flat $15, plus we'll cover your club shipping cost for your second shipment. That's $15 house money in a sure bet for you. So please head to our website, DracaenaWines.com, and find out all of the benefits of joining the Chalk Club and how to sign up. We've stacked the odds so that you can get our award-winning wines without breaking the bank. So, shall we move on to...
Go for it.
right. So I am not going to lie here. There were no food pairings for Valdigay. So what I did was I took the liberty of saying that it's been misinterpreted as Gamay for so long that I'm going to go food pairings with Gamay. So food pairings with Valdigay. Basically, it's going to pair well with lighter and medium body dishes. Right, this is a light wine, so you are not going to be able to put some massive meal up there. It's not standing up to a steak. It's not standing up to a big meal. it does, I think it would probably do its best with some acidity in there and slightly savory dishes. That's kind of where I would zone in on. So my first suggestion is skillet chicken thighs with creamy tomato basil spinach sauce. And that I'm thinking if I just was doing like right now after tasting this, I have got grilled cheese with tomato basil soup. That is what.
Well, I can taste that. Yes.
That is what I am voting for as pairing of the month. Next up, you know, it's like a Beaujolais Nouveau, so Thanksgiving dinner. Everything that you're going to have on a Thanksgiving Day table is going to go with this wine. Sear roasted salmon and honey glazed fennel. Now, I think if this truly is fennel in here, which I'm not getting, but I do think that fennel is going to pull that out. And the honey glaze, I think that... Does yours have any hint of, not sweetness, well, you know, I'm not talking sweetness as in residual, but that fruit sweetness. So I think that honey can help with, will help, or not help, but go well with.
I understand what you're saying about fruit sweetness.
Right.
I think that's where the juiciness comes in.
Right, right. That ripe fruit, that perfect pull off the vine. Like this is not peach or nectarine. That's not what I'm saying. But you know, have you ever pulled a peach or nectarine off of the tree, you know, and then you bite into it and that juice just dribbles down your face? This is what I get, but with raspberry. And raspberry's not that fruit, you know, that juicy, but that's what I get. Next up, baked garlic pork tenderloin, Mongolian meatball ramen. So now that I've tasted this, I'm not so sure about this one. What do you think of this one, Deb?
I'm not sure it would go with that.
Yeah.
I think that the spices would overpower the wine.
That's what I'm thinking also. I think the spices that go into the Mongolian food, I think might overpower it. So
yeah.
I'm vetoing my own suggestion here.
That's quite all right.
sausage and vegetable soup. So I think that the, again,
sweet sausage.
What?
Sweet sausage.
Yes. Yes. I don't think you could do a hot sausage with this one.
No.
but again, sausage has fennel in it. So that's going to pull out that in the wine. So I think that that's a good pairing. So I'm only vetoing one of my suggestions.
Yeah, the Mongolian.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit too overpowering.
Actually, really good.
What?
But I said it looked good.
Oh. Not to me, but yeah. I spent a lot of time eating spring rolls this week.
Oh, did you?
They were so good. Oh, Asian spring rolls. I could, like, just devour them.
So are we on to my...
We are up to the five fast facts, which might have been a bit difficult.
Oh, my goodness. Let me see what I have here. So... Valdiguié was grown in the southern, is in the south of France, in the Languedoc-Roussillon region. And I think that's it for the slides. Like I said, it was hard to find slides to go with the points.
Right.
In California, it's known as Napa Gamay. And in 1999, after genetic analysis, the name was banned from the U.S. wine labels. It's also known as Gros. How did you pronounce that?
It is pronounced Gros Auxerrois.
Okay, Gros Auxerrois.
Yep.
Valdiguié is famous for being very high yielding. It's a late maturing variety. And it can be made as a wine to age up to three years to develop. That's what it says. It says Lucy T. Morton, a Virginia-based amplographer, confirms this and says that Valdiguié, when grown in certain ways, can make a darker, richer, more compact wine than Gamay, with the potential to age well. But because the variety has traditionally been made as a light, early drinking wine in California, we haven't seen those qualities. Armed with this information, that's why they say it can age.
Yeah, this is not sitting for 10, 15 years.
Napa Gamay was rich and improved in the bottle. So,
there you have it, folks.
A Napa Gamay.
Yeah, well, that might be a little tough considering it was outlawed quite some time ago.
Yeah. You know,
you're talking about 20,
right now, so.
Yeah, 20 years ago, I'm thinking there's nothing out there. There might be, like, if you go to a winery that used to make it, there might be an old, you know, bottle, but yeah.
Dark in the color. So thank you, Jim and Karen, for coming by.
And that is Valdiguié.
And drinking with us.
Have either of you had Valdiguié before? I would be curious to see how many people that... I'm going to do a Twitter survey tomorrow, maybe tonight before I go to bed, to ask, has anybody had Valdiguié before? Because I had never had it prior to this. In fact, I'd never even heard of it before.
And I had a hard time finding it.
So
next month...
Yes.
We're doing Weiss and Burgunder.
Yes. And we're cheating a little bit. Or I'm cheating a little bit. But I think you're cheating also, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, because we can't find one from Germany.
So it is also known as Pinot Blanc. So I have a Pinot Blanc.
I do too.
But we are going.
We don't have one.
Oh, no. Well, whatever. That would be funny. But yes.
That would be.
So we are going to talk about.
Monday the 20th.
Yes. We are going to talk about Weiss Burgunder, but I will be drinking a Pinot Blanc. You know, sometimes you got to think outside the box.
Yeah.
So thank you, Karen and Jim, for joining in. And we would love to, anybody who watches this in the future, please leave a comment in the comment box of YouTube and let us know if you've ever had a Valdiguié, what's your thoughts of it. And
where were you when you drank your Valdiguié?
Yes. And if you've ever been to J. Lore, because, you know, as much as I am, you know, Cabernet Franc champion, I am Paso passionate also, and I love promoting that. So I'm always happy to share whatever I know about Paso, and I'm always learning new stuff. So thank you for joining, and we will see you next month, May 20th at 8 p.m., unless we change that.
And guys, have a great week.
Yes.
Have a great month. We'll catch you.
And we are almost in May. Woohoo!
Yeah.
So
take care, everyone.
Bye. Slancha.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Google, and Periscope as @DracenaWines. I'm also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd, or email us at dracinawines.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find us more easily. We are found on all of your favorite aggregators. To subscribe easily to iTunes, go to bit.ly/DracinaPodcast. That's bit.ly/DracinaPodcast. And that's a capital D for Dracina and capital P for podcast. Please check out our award-winning wines and find out about our wine club at dracinawines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte!